Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Yeah, welcome to it right across the Triple M network in Triple M Cairns, Townsville, down into the beautiful Whitsundays, Mackay, and then across, of course, the Fraser Coast, down into Toowoomba, Brisbane, Port Macquarie, Coffs Harbour, Newcastle, Central Coast, the beautiful city of Sydney, my hometown, Triple M Redfern, of course, and then across to Triple M Orange, and then Triple M down in Griffith.
Wollongong.
They're getting this signal. They're getting the 104.9. Look, if I've missed anyone, of course, and Triple M Online as well. We are getting ready. You've seen all the TV networks peacocking around what they are doing, what they're not doing. Here at Triple M, we're just doing what we're doing every week, and that is calling the greatest game of all, NRL. Thanks for all the emails of support. Hoops is in this hour. Gordy Tallis and Maroon, we call this the happy hour because Paul Kent's gone. And let's talk about this game. Last night, the Sharks over the Cowboys. Finally, the Sharks got a fair rub of the green. But there was a lot of drama before this game because Fox League reported that six of the Sharkies players had tested, well, they were too hot. Their temperature had been tested and they failed the biosecurity.
Firstly, Anthony, it's nice to see you give Kenty a couple of little light love taps in the rib region before he left. Normally you wait until after he's vacated the studio and well into the car park before you start sticking the shiv and the machete in
my
under the ribs.
I'll get to the question now.
So, look, it did cause an issue. It's no laughing matter. The Sharkies arrived at the Cowboys brand new stadium in Townsville. Speaking with a couple of players, the suggestion is that where they were asked to wait, it was quite warm. Surprise, surprise. It's the tropics in far north Queensland. And so as a result, when they were tested, as we heard from Graham Annesley earlier, initially when they were tested, we're not talking about temperatures of 38 degrees and roaring plus. We're talking about decimal points, Anthony, something you're very familiar with on the calculator. And there was half a dozen that were basically, okay, boys, you're going to have to step aside 15 minutes. You're not going to be permitted through into the rest of the stadium at this point because we've got to make sure that your temperatures are all tickety-boo. But thankfully, they all waited 15 minutes, went through the thermometers again, and crack-bang away we went.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking, I don't know how, it's a funny one, Hoops, because like you said, it's warmer up there. So where do they stick them when they're waiting the 15 minutes? Do they stick them in a room that's air-conditioned? I mean, how does all that play out in it?
I think that was what they did, actually. I think they got them into a cool room where they could just compose themselves and make sure that, you know, their temperatures were regulated. And as soon as that happened, well, then they were back and given the green light to be able to participate.
So what's a normal temperature? What is it, 36?
37. I think you've got to be under 37.2.
37.2.
But like then, you could run at that anyway and be fine, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Because I took my little son, Billy, like he's one, and we took him to the doctors and it was raging in 39s. And they don't do anything unless there's, you know, bloody a fever, spewing and vomiting or, you know, like a rash going with it. So like then you can just have a fever, you know what I mean, or like a high temperature, like without, you know, being really sick, isn't it?
That's normally how it rolls for you, isn't it, Anthony, the rash vest? Or, no, if you're right, Gordy. But, look, thankfully last night, it was action stations for a while there because when we didn't know what the result was going to be, and you're talking about half a dozen players. Yeah. They only had 18 players up there. Six blokes go down, again, as we heard from Graham Annesley, it then boils down to a commission meeting. That seems bizarre, but it is an unusual set of circumstances. So, look, thankfully, they got themselves right. They were able to take the field. They gave a really strong account of themselves. It wasn't pretty, they weren't ugly, but you'd rather that than be staring down the barrel of being 0-4 to start the season and the drums beating around the young coach in Bomber Morris, who the drums are beating him around him anyway.
Yeah.
If you read the newspaper today and Buzz Rothfield's reporting that, you know, there could well be changes on the cards at Cronulla already.
Well, Gordy, all things considered with that game and considering the fact that they had that hiccup before they went on the Sharkies. That must have affected their preparation at some level. The Cowboys probably should have got that. That's 2 points they might miss toward the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, watching Paul Green's press conference, it was a really messy game that just got away from him. Obviously, not having Temalolo and Cohen Hess with the ankle injury doesn't help when you're playing the Sharkies. So it was a great win for the Sharkies, but it was a messy sort of a game, wasn't it? Like a lot of handling errors, but you got to win it. And I think it was a mentally tough performance from the Sharks, which we've come to know that's what they're like, you know, to go through that drama at the beginning of the game, but still come away with the victory.
Yeah, it's a strong sign of exactly, you know, the character within that football side. But I found interesting after the game on Fox League, Cooper Cronk gave a very strong analysis on Sean Johnson.
Mm. We'll play that audio now.
Yeah, I agree with Wade in terms of balance. Moylan at the back, the reliable Townsend in the seven and then Johnson in the six. Problem with that is Moylan's been injured most of the time, can't get on the park. And to me, you know what you're going to get out of Townsend? He's a 7.5, 8 out of 10 player most weeks. But Johnson's the key. Johnson won the Golden Boot in 2014, signed at the Sharks on a 3-year deal. This is his second. And to be honest, he's fired blanks since arriving. So for me, what sums it up, his performance tonight, is he puts in this kick where he makes the ball taut, basically, for Mudetala to score his first try. And you sit there on the reverse angle, and it bends away from the fullback. This one here, the old Sean Johnson would have shaked and baked and gone 90 by himself, but he was looking for Ramian. But the turning point here, he made the ball talk for Mudetala first try, but then when the game's in the balance, he goes for a kick for touch from halfway, shanks it, and then 5 minutes later has another kick with the game in the balance and kicks a 7-tackle set. So he can be the best player in the world, but he just doesn't deliver enough for me. And if the Sharks are going to do something this year, you've got enough talent on that list led by Wade Graham. Townsend runs through the middle of the third, let Moylan just flow around and, you know, jump on the back of these six tackle sets, but Johnson needs to be the star.
What's he saying there that, you know, is he suggesting, Cooper Cronk, that he doesn't have Sean Johnson at six or seven?
I think he's saying he wants to see a lot more consistency out of Johnson and that he hasn't delivered, to quote Cooper's words, he's fired blanks since he's arrived at the Sharks. Now, this lends itself to the reasoning from the New Zealand Warriors when they decided to let Sean Johnson go. That was controversial at the time, and he was still under contract, and they made a tough decision that they wanted to move him on irrespective of that and irrespective of the fact that, you know, he's obviously been a long-time representative player for New Zealand, but it's the consistency factor that I think Cooper was outlining there. And when he actually went through some of the moments in the game and examples of where he felt Sean was just slightly a little bit lacking, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like he said, he's got all this ability in the world. His consistency through an 80-minute performance is not there. When it's time for you to stand up as that marquee player, as you said, he's won the Golden Boot Award, so you're the best player in the world. So we know how talented he is. I think the style of play now, the way the game's played, suits him. You know, everybody's talking about Cook. I'm thinking the guy that's going to shine with a bit of broken field running, a tired defensive line, is Sean Johnson.
Do you think he doesn't run as much as he used to, though, Gordy? No. Like Cooper pointed out, there's an example there last night.
If you look at Sean Johnson, do you think of his kicking game? No. Do you think of his passing game? No, you think of his running game, don't you?
Yep.
And that's what we're looking at, is a natural running 5'8 playmakers game now, where you see Brody Croft, that's not a natural runner, run through the, you know, the Parramatta Pack last week to score a 50-metre try. So it's opened up the game where you think that it would suit a Sean Johnson style of player. And yet, you know, you get Cooper Cronk, who is arguably, you know, one of the greatest halfbacks ever to play our game. I think he gets it spot on. If I was a Cronulla fan, I'd be a little bit frustrated.
They've got some big decisions to make. Coach John Morris, he's got some big calls to make in relation to how he uses his big name personnel. So that's Sean Johnson, that's Matt Moylan, that's Chad Townsend. How does he balance the side out? Because last night it was Moylan and Johnson, and they were able to get the 2 points against North Queensland. But Chad Townsend's not going to be out forever. It's a hamstring injury and a hamstring issue, but you'd think he doesn't normally miss very many games, and he's a wonderful organiser of a football side, premiership winning halfback. He's got a pretty damn good resume. I'd be looking to get him back into the seven jumper, and then you've got to figure out the best balance for the rest of the side. I'd say at the moment it's Johnson at six and Matt Moylan at fullback.
All right, boys, we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about this game today. We want to preview. It's up next. It's Raiders and Knights. Should be a great game of footy, a lot riding on it. And then tonight, Gold Coast up against the Tigers. So we'll talk about both those games next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
It's like a big old combination soup from the Chinese. Absolutely beautiful. A couple of prawns, a little bit of ham, some wontons, a little bit of soy sauce.
You like a tom yum?
Oh, I love a tom yum. What's that thing we're going to have at Bankstown?
A shark fin.
A Bankstown RSL.
Like a
foe.
Yeah.
You can
have shark fin
soup. You can't do that. You just can't cut fins off sharks to eat.
Well, he's not
enough
personally
to actually cut the fin off.
These are fake, like fish fingers. It's like
they're like, mate. Listen, my favourite seafood's potato scallops.
Yeah, well, that's it.
You know who's famous for loving a fish finger?
Who?
Oh, the ex boss? No, the ex boss of your South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah,
Shane Richardson.
He likes fish fingers, doesn't he, Richard?
Yeah, just loves them.
I haven't had fish fingers for ages.
No, I haven't had them. I don't reckon I've had them since I was a kid.
Well, Spud Carroll told
this
us
hammering,
eats, Bud Carroll eats like 36 pack in one sitting.
Wow.
Of the fish fingers. Because you can whack them, you can have a bit of, you can have them on bread.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
What you else? Can just thaw what them else? Out of the freezer and have them, just have them cold. like an
no,
ice cream.
You can't.
Like a fish
no,
ice
you can't.
Cream. Anyway.
No, you can't.
If I'm talking about my favourite soup, I'll go for a combination. Down at the Urco Bolo, that's a good combination soup down there.
What about a foe?
Foe's great. Mm. Bankstown RSL.
Bankstown RSL, very good.
Dicko said, me and you are going there to have a foe.
Righto, we're in. We're on.
Right. Now, let's talk about this game this afternoon. One of the short price favourites to win the premiership, the Canberra Raiders, up against the feel-good story so far, the Knights last week coming back for a draw with the Panthers. But it's a much bigger challenge today, Hoops.
I love the fact that Newcastle get Mitchell Pearce and also Kalyn Ponga back, two of their big guns who didn't feature last week. Mitch was obviously knocked out in the opening couple of minutes and Kalyn was suspended. So I think that makes them a vastly different side. Look, I guess one of the other big questions is that epic 90-minute performance last Sunday. How much juice has that taken out of them? It is a week later, but by the same token, you'd have to think that physically that will have some sort of a bearing. And the Raiders, they've just been so impressive in everything that we've seen from them over the course of the opening month of the competition. They're the premiership favourites for a reason. It's the Raiders, it's the Roosters, it's the Parramatta Eels, it's Manly. They are the benchmark teams at the moment. Melbourne, you can throw them in as well. I'm expecting a cracking game, similar to the style of contest that we saw yesterday between Parramatta and Manly. I'm not expecting a blowout, which has been a little bit of a trend since we have gone to the six again interpretation. Oh, I just think it'll be a belter of a game.
But why would anyone expect a blowout? This Knights side, and you get Kalyn Ponga back, and you get Mitchell Pearce back. Why would anyone think? I give him a chance to win.
I knew your ears were painted on. Now I know your eyes are painted on too. If you look at the trends, Anthony, of what's been happening since we went to the six again rule and since the competition was resumed, the majority of results have been 13-plus blowouts. So that's why I say I'm not expecting this to be a blowout.
Hmm. Well, we've got a special guest in the studio now, Wendell Saylor. Come in, Wendell. We'll get your thoughts on what's going on in the rugby league world. What about you? Who do you tip for this one, Gordon?
Look, I think the Raiders, but don't write off the Knights. I thought they were really good last week. You go, you know, to play without Mitchell Pearce for like most of the game and to fight their way back in, and you saw what Penrith did to the Warriors. So I don't think it's going to be a walkover, but you think that the Raiders will just have a little bit too much firepower for them.
All right, Wendell Saylor's arrived here. He'll call the game this afternoon with Dan Ganane from 4, right across the Triple M network. Hello, Dell.
How you going, boys? What's happening?
Fantastic. Oh, mate, we're just wondering who you... I tell you, that shirt, that's a great-looking shirt you got on. You need the police rescue squad to get out of that one, wouldn't you, mate? Gee, that's a tight shirt.
I borrowed it from Jimmy Hooper here.
In the dryer.
Who do you like?
Look at that. But looking good, brother, looking good.
How you going, mate, all right? I think Newcastle went okay last week, you know. Big effort, that'll give them confidence. Ponga's back today. But it's hard to go past the Raiders the way they're playing. This new... rules, sets their style, sorts their football.
I've got a couple of questions for the Dual International. Firstly, have you done a drive-by past Anthony's Little Bay compound at all earlier today?
Well, no, I haven't been around the neck of the woods. A couple of weeks ago I was.
Yes.
But I think I might be playing golf there at some stage this week, so maybe I'll drop in and say hello.
Well, we're looking
forward. Pop in and have a cup of tea with this Portugal. Be rude not to.
We'll be looking forward to the arrival of some brown sugar at the Palatial Fibro Mansion in Little Bay.
Mate, we always love the brown sugar, baby.
Mate, what about the Titans and the Tigers? Do you give the Titans any chance at all?
Look, at some stage you're going to have to win a game. Look, for me, I think the Tigers will get the job done. I like the way they played last week. Benji, what's he, 35, 36?
Freak.
He just...
He's playing as good as ever.
Yeah, I think, you know, the evolution of Benji Marshall, it's great. You know, he probably doesn't have that step and speed that he used to have, but his game management, it suits the Tigers at the moment. And I feel sorry for the Titans, but if they can put 80 minutes together, you know, they're a chance. But it's just, like, the effort on effort. So the Dragons and the Broncos haven't been doing that, and neither have the Titans.
Mm. He's shaken things up, Justin Holbrook. Like, he's made some big changes. He's dropped some big names. He's giving some younger players an opportunity. The other story, Wendell, that we've been fascinated with on the show so far this afternoon is Gordy told a ripping yarn earlier about how Benny Eichen used to hold the Broncos after parties back at his place sometimes. Is that right?
Mate, I didn't know. I used to go home, straight home, have a cup of tea. I can't believe you guys didn't invite me, Gordy.
Mate, you were the buddies because Big Dell was holding court where everyone. Everybody loves the Big Dell.
There was a bar called City Rollers back in the day. And when we used to walk in there, the DJ, he liked me because I was a regular there. He used to play Mr. Wendell, and I said, fist pumping, scored a couple of tries and stuff.
And it's really true because they had these huge, big posters, like massive. You know, they were like, I don't know, nine or 10 foot big action photos of the players. Wendell would always go stand behind his.
I just wanted people to know, but it was funny. When I first went to the Broncos, the under-21s or the under-20 side, Anthony Seibold and myself and that, we used to be in that team. We always used to be get the Broncos shirts on and just hang out with the boys just in case. Didn't know if we were going to play first grade or not, but anyway.
You're still good mates with Seibs, ain't you? How's he going?
Yeah, I spoke to him yesterday just as a mate. I think it's not perfect at the moment. And he's finding, he didn't say anything to me about it, but he's finding it's a bit difficult at the moment, you know.
He's got the blowtorch on him.
Yeah, well, he has, because that Broncos culture, I'm not used to seeing Broncos get beat like that. I mean, I think Gordy, we got beaten one time by the Melbourne Storm 48-6 at old ANZ Stadium, and the Broncos crowd were booing us but clapping the Melbourne Storm. They played that good. Wow. But at the moment, I know they're young blokes, but it's just, for me, effort on effort.
Okay, mate, we'll let you go and get ready.
Thanks,
you've got
boys.
The game this afternoon, 4 o'clock.
Thanks,
Raiders, Newcastle Knights at the Triple M Network. What we'll do, we'll take a break, we'll come back, and we'll have a more detailed look at that Titans-Tigers game as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Thanks to Mitsubishi Triton. Nothing can frighten a Triton.
Welcome back. Yeah, right across the Triple M Network, we love our rugby league. Thanks to our mates at Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi Triton. You just can't frighten a Mitsubishi Triton. I had to go down to the Gong the other day, so I borrowed a Triton. Oof, what a beast.
How do they go on the road?
Oh, mate, they go beautiful.
Did you get the auto or the manual?
I got the auto. Yeah. I'm not a manual guy.
I don't like a manual.
I don't like anything too hard.
Okay.
Got the auto up and down the Mount Ousley in the Triton.
Yep.
Got down to...
Did I pass?
I took the Mount Ousley. Got down into Wollongong, into JJ Kelly Park. Mm. Got it up into the grass and did a couple of doughies in it. Just took off. Absolutely beautiful.
Did you get past the Fig Tree Hotel?
Went past the Fig Tree Hotel over the median strip. Blew the horns there, done a couple of doughies there as well. Went through the drive-thru. Happy days. What was I talking about? Titans, Tigers.
Yeah, it's a fascinating clash, Anthony, in that Titans. No, I know you take every opportunity you can to try and put the slipper into the Gold Coast Titans. I think it's overkill myself.
Hang on, let me
point this out. Hang on, just let me finish. The Titans are actually a bit of a bogey side for West Tigers. They are. If you look at it, right, the Tigers don't have a great recent record.
Right.
Stop making... don't have a terrific recent record against the Gold Coast.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you know, they
it's a bit like South's record against Melbourne.
Nah.
You know what? It's not far off.
Well, I wasn't going to say this, Gordon, but the Titans haven't won a game for 12 months. So,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
how that compares to any other sporting team in Australia's record, I don't know.
Well, I don't
Can
know
they
whether
win
you know.
Today?
COVID hit the Gold Coast about 12 months ago. It got to us
early. How did you give them a chance today?
Yeah, well, do you know what? I thought their effort was better last week, but you'd think the Tigers would win, wouldn't you? But Holbrook's made changes and he's wielded the axe, and I like it. And all of it is everybody's got to be accountable. So there's two Origin players, one in Jared Wallace and Nathan Peet, who have been dropped for this week's game. So he's making changes, and that's all you can do. At the moment, Anthony, we're getting beaten on ability. We're not getting beaten on effort.
He's axed a former test player as well in Shannon Boyd. So he's shown he's prepared to make the big decisions. Rookie playmakers in Jamal Fogarty. So, look, it's going to be a big challenge given the form that the West Tigers showcased last weekend. But, like I say, they are somewhat of a bogey team for the Tigers. I don't think it's a complete lay-down misere. I think I could see the Gold Coast winning. It wouldn't stun me.
Okay. Boys, to the other side of that game, of course, it's the West Tigers, who I think, look, I think they're probably a better side, I've said this before, than the general public would give them credit for. And they go into this side, a lot of experience in the halves, and we all love the way Harry Grant's playing.
Yeah, I think the coach is so pivotal to everything that's happening now at the West Tigers, and it's taken Michael Maguire a little while to shake the roster up and mould it into the style of players that he wants. But when you look at that forward pack, I can see a lot of Michael Maguire in your Alex Twiles, in your Thomas McKayleys, in your Luke Garners. They're not flashy, but they're trying on every play. They're effort players, as Gordon just touched on a minute ago. And then Benji Marshall, at the age of 35, I would argue he may not be as quick as he once was, but in terms of his game management and his vision, the way he's seeing things, his timing, it's as good as ever. Mm. So his combination with Luke Brooks, look, Harry Grant in all likelihood will end up as one of the buys of the season. I hope Cameron Smith plays again, because if Cameron does decide that he wants to go for another season, that means Harry Grant's got a get-out clause, and I'd love to see him stay at the West Tigers if he can, and I know they'd love to have him.
And I like the way when Grant was on, and Billy Walters made an impact as well. So it's their spine, led by Benji, and then you got Grant that sat behind Cameron. So he's a good young player, but it's working at the moment. Like, they're all coming on together, and they're all doing what their team needs them to do. So Billy Walters come on last week, and he made an impact as well. So the Tigers are good. And Madge, they're hard-nosed, they don't beat themselves. That's a Michael Maguire coach side when they don't beat themselves.
All right, so you both like the Tigers to win this one?
I'm going the Titans.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home, I'm going to get my Titans jumper on, and I'm going to call the game with the Titans jumper
on. Good on you, mate. You're calling the game tonight too with Dobbo on the Triple M Network.
And Kevy, so it's good. So Kevy will be calling his son. I don't think he's ever called his son before, so it's going to be pretty good on the M's up here. So, and I'm glad that Billy's got a start, and he played really good last week, and so it's good.
You know what, Gordy, this was a nice moment. He actually called Billy over at the Nines in Perth, and he scored. I think he either set up a try or he scored a try, and they went to Kevy in the comedy. Said, I walked him through that last night.
Kevy's quick on his feet.
That's an opportunity. You might never have done that before, but one of our commentators, the legendary Kevy Walters, will be calling a game tonight with his young bloke playing. So if you can't get it on the Triple M you're listening to, you can get it on the Triple M NRL app. We'll take a break and come back and wrap things up with a little chat about the Doggies and the Dragons as Triple M rocks the footy. James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon, we're back with more after this.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. 4 o'clock today. We've got Raiders and we've got Raiders Knights on the Triple M network. Right now, these two clubs that play tomorrow, we haven't spoken about them much, the Dragons and the Doggies. Now, in the paper all week for the wrong reasons. Let's start with the Dragons. They've lost so far this year to the Tigers, the Panthers, the Warriors on the back of an awful display last year where they came in second last. So where are we now? We've heard that Moses Sully doesn't want to be a part of the club. Tyson Frizzell has signed elsewhere. Young Saab is looking elsewhere. How do you see this rabble at the moment, Hoops?
We're on a knife edge. There's no two ways about it. Monday's result, tomorrow's result is absolutely critical. I think if the Bulldogs beat the Dragons, it wouldn't surprise me if the Dragons board decide to move on Mary McGregor.
Okay, so what if the Dragons beat the Bulldogs? What does that mean for Dean Pay?
I don't think that means that Dean Pay will be gone immediately, but I think beyond this season, because he's only signed until the end of this season, Dean, I don't think Dean will be there beyond that.
Okay, so Gordon...
I'd even go as far, Anthony, as to say I don't think results... unless the Bulldogs all of a sudden go on a run, make the eight and threaten to win the comp, I don't think Dean Pay will be their coach next season. That's not a criticism of Dean as a coach. I've said many times I think he's been thrown under the bus by some of the decision makers at Canterbury, and he hasn't been given the latitude to be able to show what he can do. But it's professional sport, and he's going to be a victim of that situation.
Gordy, I feel like without facts and figures in front of me, if I look at how bad these two wonderful, great clubs that they are, how bad they're travelling, I feel like at least with the Doggies, I see effort.
Yeah, they do. I thought last year, towards the end, they started to win some games. They got some momentum, and dare I say it, you saw a Dean Pay style of footy, wasn't it? It was tough. It was uncompromising with a little bit of skill.
Yep.
And... this year, obviously, COVID, and they've come, but they've been playing without their best player, too, in Kieran Foran. You know, you take your marquee player, you take your best player out of anybody or the bloke that sets up your play, you're going to struggle to get points. But I think that they're not beating themselves. They're tough. They're having a go. They're just getting beaten on ability. Their roster's poor, and they're trying to get that right.
Well, he's shaking up the back line. He's made a number of changes for tomorrow. So Dallin Watuniak was named to play and start at fullback. He'll be going to the wing. William Hopewadi will go to fullback. There's a young gun called Jake Amarillo who will be playing in the centres. And Kieran Foran, as Gordy just pointed out, crucially is back. That's a massive in for Canterbury. And look, I reckon they can get the Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't on paper, but they can.
Let's hope you are wrong, Hoops. Let's hope that Paul McGregor doesn't lose his position at the Dragons. But if he does, what do you think will happen? Dean Young will come in as an interim coach, and then we'll look to the future?
Yeah, I reckon the easiest solution, the most seamless given the awkward circumstances, is Dean Young's already an assistant coach there at the moment, so he takes over in a caretaker capacity. Shane Flanagan is still there for the remainder of this year, and then the Dragons have got an option in their favour. So Flanagan, he won't necessarily 1,000,000% be there next season, and he's already being linked as well with a return to Cronulla. And then I think bigger picture beyond that, in a perfect world, I reckon they'd love to get Craig Fitzgibbon. He's done a number of years under Trent Robinson at the Sydney Roosters. He's worked on their defence. He's turned that outfit into the benchmark side and the benchmark outfit in terms of defence in the competition. And he played for the club as well, so I think he'd be a perfect fit.
Yeah, okay. Look, we'll leave that there because I got a few emails about people loving this story of Gordy and Kevvy Walters travelling in and out of Sydney in the car because of COVID-19. Any great stories to come out of the most recent trip, Gordy?
No, actually, there's not. Last week was funny when we sort of left Newcastle at 6 in the morning. So, like, we get out of Sydney and we left at 6 in the morning, and Kevvy goes, "You drive," and I had to put my head out the window like a dog to keep myself awake. And then we get to Coffs Harbour, and he goes, "Shit, that was quick." So I drove off the road twice trying to keep myself awake at 7:30 in the morning because he just wanted to get home to watch Billy. And then this week was the same, mate. So we got to Newcastle. We had a good night's sleep, and we got up bright and early to get home for the footy because we race home so we can see the footy. And we stopped at Burnwood, actually. It's a couple of lovely ladies just run this little cafeteria there, and Kevvy went to get a coffee, and I went to the bottle shop next door and got myself a six pack. So then Kevvy gets back to the car and goes, "I'm not driving, huh?" I said, "No, you're not."
How far away is Burnwood from?
So Kevvy drove from there. So Kevvy's great. So I finally chewed through one ear. So he's only got one left.
All right, mate.
So he might be catching a plane this week.
The rugby league community appreciates the effort.
And just before we get going as well, Anthony, social media has lit up your poll today. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Burko, in terms of people wanting to vote and whatnot. But one of our listeners, Mick, has asked the question, I'm having some technical difficulties voting in Maroon's poll. Can I just check, is it infected? Is there some sort of technical glitch with the poll?
The poll was, should the bunker be able to rule on a forward pass? And I think it's a landslide. People are with me that about 75% are with me. The poll is not infected. The poll has been put away and will be brought back out next week. Gordy, tell us, we'll catch you on Fox League.
Catch me at 6:20 tonight for the Titans versus the Tigers.
Okay, and Hoops, once again, you've done a great job today, old mate.
Always a pleasure, Anthony.
We will leave you in the hands of Dan Ganane and the boys because we've got the game coming up between the Knights and the Raiders as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.